in Zimbabwe. I think one unfortunate phenomenon in the past few years has been a decrease in funding for democracy and governance work in Zimbabwe, especially since its heyday in 2007 and 2008. And we've really seen a lack of technical capacity building for civil society, and we've really seen their work regress in a number of ways. There's amazing groups doing amazing work, but to my mind, they're not really getting the assistance that they need. The civil society currently in Zimbabwe is lacking the skills to do policy oversight and policy development. There's a lack of a constitutional watchdog. Zimbabwe has a great constitution, but it's not being tested. It's not being put into practice. And I think local governance is key. There's a lack of relationship between citizens and their elected officials. And people aren't seeing the link between the lofty rhetoric that we speak about human rights and democracy and how it might affect their ordinary lives in terms of clean drinking water, in terms of electricity and access to basic services. And I think those are the voids that need to be filled.
Why has U.S. funding dried up, especially for the civil society in Zimbabwe?
Unfortunately, in the United States right now, and this is one of my big disappointments with the current administration, is that Africa has not and never really has been high on their priority list. Certain issues have been, certainly issues of security, issues of counterterrorism, but my main qualm with all that is that the United States, unfortunately, in terms of our Africa policy, if you could say we even have one, which I would argue that we don't, that the few remnants of the policy we have continues to address the symptoms of political, social, and humanitarian instability, unrest, and crises. We're not addressing the causes. We're not addressing a fundamental lack of human rights. We're not addressing corruption and transparency. We're not addressing issues of good governance. We're not addressing issues of discrimination against marginalized groups, which, left to fester over years and years, is inevitably going to lead to social unrest. So if we're going to say the Obama administration has an Africa legacy, the one key initiative that people will point to is Power Africa, which is a public-private partnership. It's providing electricity to a handful of countries in Africa, important countries including Nigeria and Liberia and others. But the money to fund that initiative is being taken out of the United States' democracy and governance budget, which is already less than 1% of the overall foreign affairs budget, which is a pittance. And I think that the second key issue there is that there's a competition for resources. And the United States is investing heavily in its military involvement in Africa through AFRICOM. And I think issues of human rights and good governance are certainly losing out to that, unfortunately, again. And I think it goes back to addressing symptoms, not causes. The causes being lack of respect and fundamental widespread violation of human rights in Zimbabwe and in elsewhere. I think Zimbabwe, besides South Africa, I would argue is the most important country in all of Southern Africa. I think if democratic change happens in Zimbabwe and the tide starts to turn in Zimbabwe, you'll see a ripple effect through the entire region. Unfortunately, policymakers here are not seeing that. And if they do, they're not doing much to invest.
And Mr. Gwagwa, your take on what Mr. Smith just said?
Certainly, I think I want to see the U.S. supporting democracy work in Zimbabwe, but not only financially, but also technically. But I also think, you know, because there are two models, you know, for funding. One is called, you know, the independent funding model, where the U.S. government, you know, gives money to foundations like, you know, National Endowment for Democracy, or they can directly fund in the country, which is the field-based model. So I think I would advise, I think, the U.S. government, I think, to fund organizations like, you know, NAND, the RFK Center, and then they enter into partnerships with local organizations because they have a better understanding of the obtaining, you know, conditions in the country. Secondly, in terms of the skill base, I know there are a lot of Zimbabweans who have gone abroad. Some of them were founding members of Zimbabwe civil society. Like I could talk of, you know, Brian Kagoro, Depros Muchena, you know, Kevin Lawe, and a few others. I think the founding members and other Zimbabweans who have been exposed who are working in international NGOs, like, you know, Tawanda Ondera, you know, deputy director within Amnesty International. Why can't we tap into the knowledge base of those Zimbabweans? And then, of course, we can also work with our partners, RFK Center, you know, Freedom House. But in order for them to give us support, I think they also wanted to see a commitment among Zimbabweans, I think, to be finding solutions and knowledge within Zimbabweans who are located both within the country and outside the country.